back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for staying with us. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining us as we talk to Avi Lipkin all the way from Israel. You know, isn't he a great man? And his books are tremendous. Good reads. Good. I mean, the latest book, which I for some reason I don't have, but I'm going to get that tonight. I got to get that tonight. Very much on the cutting edge of biblical prophecy. I think he really, you know, the three things that he mentioned, the three tasks, and he has talked about that before, of Obama to destroy Iran, destroy Israel, and of course destroy Christian America. Isn't that interesting? Of course, he references his wife Rachel, who was dealing with a translation and transliteration in for various foreign language locations. And it's interesting that we're seeing this unfold and very quickly. And as I mentioned before the break, Sean Hannity tonight at 10 o'clock, like him, hate him, it doesn't, I don't care. I'm just telling you the venue. He's going to have Mr. Fix-It. Now, it's my understanding Mr. Fix-It is going to be on camera, I guess, because the National Enquirer, the copy I had here, right here, let me grab it here. Yeah, this copy of the National Enquirer, which came out last week, doesn't give any names. There's a 9-page spread in here. Yeah, I can hold it up. I'm good at props, right? There's a 9-page spread in here. Nothing you probably don't already know. But if he's going to display his journals and authenticate the what is said in here, that's going to be pretty important, obviously. And my guess, and I could be totally wrong, I do know some of the players in this. Jack Palladino, in my view, is in the running to be this Mr. Fix-It. Now, in case you don't know who Jack Palladino is, he's a PI. He's a private investigator in California, but he's also an attorney. And he was pretty busy in the with the Clintons, covering up a lot of their scandals. And if it's not him, well, Palladino is still the source. He was hired, again, Palladino was hired by Bill Clinton by the committee to challenge a smear campaign intended to deny Clinton the Democratic nomination. This, according to Wikipedia, basically Palladino still, or was a hitman, I guess. I shouldn't say still, but was a hitman by definition, in terms of the political smears that he works. And that's one thing as a PI. You know, it's interesting, too, being a PI. I've been on that end of things where the political end of things, where you're delivered hey, do a background on this person. Well, it's not really a legitimate background. You know, it's the intent there to smear someone, whether perhaps it's a nominee to a post of some kind. It's ugly business. It really is. So that's kind of why I think it's Palladino. We'll see, though, at 10 o'clock if it plays out the way it's supposed to play out. Folks, Portions Nice Broadcast, as I mentioned, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. But also, I want to talk to you, too. Get prepared. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Get prepared. You need long-term storable food. I was taking some inventory of my pantry, and my goodness, you know, short on stuff, right? We're all short on things, aren't we? They've got the best food products, long-term storable food, in my view. The Thrive brand is really a great brand that they've got, and you can actually get it less expensive from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com than you can from other places, up to and including even the manufacturer's website for that food product. So they've got the best. That's the Thrive brand, in my view. And we've tasted it. We've made it. Lady, the studio dog, is laying right by my feet. She, you know, she likes it. And I would suggest, I would, at this point, I would suggest now beginning to introduce that food, if you can do it, into your family's diet. Now I tried this with my daughter and my wife, and the suspicion was, why are you cooking? Anyway, the food itself is, it tastes great. It doesn't it doesn't taste like it's reconstituted. And that's the thing. You don't want to be eating sawdust and cardboard or what tastes like sawdust and cardboard in an emergency. So AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, definitely veteran-owned, Christian-owned. And also, if you don't have one already, think about what an EMP would do to this country, the power outages. Well, MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com, and the rocket stove. Minuteman Rocket Stove is the perfect survival cooking stove for you and your family. It's a stove that uses just a little amount of wood, about one-tenth of the wood a normal fire would require. It heats like a kitchen stove would, despite the small amount of fuel. It is fully insulated with a ceramic refractory insulation. You could set it on a picnic table. It is virtually smokeless, so you're not bothered by the smoke. And the smoke doesn't give away your position if that is a concern. The Minuteman stove is self-contained. It seals airtight for travel and for storage. It's the only self-contained rocket stove on the market. It's a 50 caliber ammo can. Design features a lid that's got the rubber seal carrying handle. It's really a cool item, and it weighs 14 pounds. It travels well. It travels clean. No smells or soot will get inside your vehicle. And those are just some of the benefits. And it's made in America by Americans. And Minuteman's also, Minuteman, MinutemanStove.com, they're also serving with our troops, overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And I want to thank Lane Miller. I got my rocket stove, last week, and I used it this weekend.
Were you without power?
No, I just wanted to try it out, and I boiled some water and ended up cooking just a quick thing of ramen noodles just to see how
it
worked.
That's how we eat here. See, we're down to...
I was showing my wife how it works.
We need your support. We're down to ramen noodles.
No, but she was really impressed with how it worked and how easy it was. I didn't have to use a lighter or anything. I did what Lane...
The fire starter.
Yeah.
Those are amazing things too.
Yeah. Especially the cotton balls, dipped in Vaseline.
It's amazing how good
that works. And,
wow.
You know, it boiled the water quickly and cooked the noodles, and it was interesting. It was a fun little, experience. So, Minuteman Rocket Stove.
Now, we have a lot of things to get into. We've been following, I don't know how, folks, have you been following James O'Keefe, the latest, disclosures there. If you haven't, I would suggest doing so. The edited videos released by a criminal. That's right. Oh, I love how they introduce them. Discredited,
pedophile.
My goodness.
They say.
And we're also following too, this case of, Julian Assange. We have all of the emails. I mean, essentially, we've downloaded and have on a separate hard drive that's not connected to any network at all, outside network, all of the emails. We're going through them. Some of the emails there, just going through this, folks, I mean, my goodness, as you go through these emails and you look at the subject lines and the to and the from, you'll find nuggets of good nuggets there.
There's a lot of stuff that's been coming out. There was a list of 65 pro-Hillary journalists that were all invited to a dinner at the Podesta House. And there is a list that on the emails that came out. I just was going over the list.
Yep.
Of 65 different.
Having no shame.
No, they don't. They have no shame whatsoever. The WikiLeaks list, at least 65 mainstream media reporters were meeting with and or coordinating offline with top Hillary advisors since before her nomination. So, I mean, that's just very eye-opening, and, you know, the media collusion is just unbelievable, and the proof of that is... I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. If you just look, it's there. Another piece about the media, you know, we talk about the big six corporations and how these top media industries or companies own pretty much the whole industry.
Yep.
Well, we're looking at another major merger as AT&T and Time Warner may signal the start of new media industry consolidation. And this is big news in the world of media. This was reported out of Reuters. And what it boils down to is Time Warner Cable and AT&T are going to be merging to bring together the country's largest wireless and pay TV providers and cable networks.
Now, stop right there, because you know what I saw this weekend? Because now, on a political forum, that's a Democratic forum, obviously, the Democratic Underground. I was amazed at how many people said, "Oh, this is censorship. Trump is suggesting censorship." I'm thinking when I was reading this, what? I mean, he's not, because it's just the opposite. This is controlling all of the. The fewer outlets you have, the fewer choke points.
And you have to understand companies like Time Warner Cable, they own, you know, stations like CNN, HBO, TBS, The Weather Channel, all these other networks underneath them, and AT&T, they are a phone wireless service provider, and you know they're continuing to merge, and they say in the time of the internet and Netflix and other streaming capabilities and companies, it is hurting the cable TV ratings a whole lot, and it's hurting the advertisers that they put on cable TV, because when you have streaming services like Amazon or Netflix, you pay a monthly fee of $7 to $10, and you can watch as much as you want without being interrupted by commercials.
Which, by the way, that's why I have a hard time thinking too when you mention Amazon, these companies like Amazon, for example, and others. I have a hard time believing the internet is going to be disrupted. Not when I say disrupted, or taken down. I think, to clarify that, I think parts of the internet will, but it's going to lose some of the functionality of it.
They'll leave up things that will keep people distracted. They'll leave up. I mean, even YouTube. But look at YouTube and Twitter, and what's happening during this election cycle. People are having their accounts deleted, terminated. They're being suspended for supporting Trump, but they're, you know, and other reasons, like they'll say, you're creating disturbances, or, you know, your talk is threatening in nature. But yet they leave up Facebook pages, you know, assassinate Donald Trump, and they allow the calling for violence. It's one-sided censorship. And what you're going to see is the political speech, any type of speech that is in opposition to their agenda, their goals, their narratives, will continue to be drowned out, censored, and outright banned. You see how the Google analytics and searches and the Facebook timeline functions bury the important news and news with certain keywords and tags in it. So people can't see it. And then
it's amazing.
You know, back to this story. This just goes to show, you know, how further these companies are colluding with each other to create a monopoly, on the ability to deliver content, not only on through the TV and satellite, but now cable networks are teaming up with phone companies, so they're going to be able to control the message from your TV to your phone to your radio.
And who started
from the
that?
Beginning to end.
Where did that come from? This centralization of the media, under whose administration was this? It was Clinton, but of course people look at that and say, the deregulation, or was it Clinton?
Who started?
Now I'm thinking deregulation of the media.
Oh, I have no idea.
Know this anyway. But it was, regardless, it was a joint venture between, some people will say, well, it happened under a Democratic administration or a Republican administration, whichever the case might be. But I guess that even speaks to the point. It doesn't matter, because it is a uniparty globalist thing. It's not just a Republican-Democrat thing anymore. It's a uniparty globalist agenda to control what is being said out there. By the way, I want to take a moment and I want to tell everyone, boy, I'm so excited to mention this. I had a telephone conference scheduled for earlier today. Something, kind of an emergency came up and I missed the telephone conference, and I apologize to our new sponsor coming up, Omaha Steaks. I happened to pick up the National Enquirer and I was looking at the back side of it. You saw the front side. I was showing you that, right? The back side, of course, is Omaha Steaks. I just want to say welcome aboard. Welcome aboard to Omaha Steaks, who's a sponsor of our program. They have the most delicious food. And I want to apologize to the people I stood up at Omaha Steaks today because of an urgent situation that came up and I missed the conference call. But you're going to be hearing more about this, and they've got a special coming up, and I'm going to try to get the head guy, Omaha Steaks, on here and talk about a few things. You're going to be very surprised, but I just want to, again, welcome Omaha Steaks.
I didn't know that kind of activity constituted an emergency.
What? always a joker over here. Anyway, yeah. So, the news didn't stop this weekend.
No, it didn't. There's a story I posted on Hagman Report earlier today that I want to make sure we talk about, because this is just outrageous.
Yeah.
Pentagon demands return of cash bonuses paid to California soldiers for going to war a decade ago.
Now, think about that.
The Pentagon is seeking to recover decade-old re-enlistment bonuses paid to thousands of California Army National Guard soldiers to go to fight in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Los Angeles Times reported Sunday. The paper reported that nearly 10,000 soldiers, many of whom risked their lives during multiple combat tours, have been ordered to repay the cash bonuses after audits revealed widespread overpayments by California Guard officials under pressure to meet enlistment targets at the height of the wars 10 years ago. But soldiers say the military is going back on old agreements and impose severe financial hardships on those who only mistake was to accept the bonuses, which amounted to about $15,000 or more. The Army asked wounded Iraq veteran and former Army Captain Christopher Van Meter, 42, to repay a $25,000 reenlistment bonus. It said he was ineligible to receive. He was also asked to repay $21,000 in student loan repayments. Van Meter told the paper that rather than fight the Army, he paid back the money after refinancing his home. These bonuses were used to keep people in, Van Meter said. People like me just got screwed.
Well, okay, so Joe, explain to me how that works. And folks, in case you haven't heard this, I mean,
it doesn't work.
how can they?
How about they can reimburse their money from finding the $6 billion that went missing from the State Department? Right. Maybe the Federal Reserve can print, the amount of bonuses that were paid out. One thing I don't understand about this is, from my understanding, when you enlist, you sign a contract, which in the contract discloses a certain amount of money that you will get as a signing bonus or a reenlistment bonus.
Yep.
It also details, how they'll pay for your college if you take courses the way that they structure you to. But to come back at these soldiers after so many of them went to war, as the article points out, more than one time deployed overseas to fight. Some of them are injured. Some of them are handicapped from those battles.
Yeah, yeah.
Are being asked to repay bonuses because of the Army's own mistake. And one paralyzed, or I'm sorry, one injured.
Well, was
injured.
It a mistake? Because I don't think...
Yes, the Army made the mistake.
Okay, so they were considered overpaid.
The Army conceded, that they were overpaid. And they signed a contract that the soldier said... They signed a contract. They literally risked their life to fulfill. Now, they say when we want somebody in the government, anybody, to say this is wrong and we'll stop going after his money. Now, this is the Meter commenting on why he chose to pay back the money rather than fight the Army.
Right.
But what is startling here is how disgraceful this is. Following the Army's call to help after September 11th, sending these people to war under false pretexts, really, in two countries for going on over 13 years now. They're now being asked to pay back money that was given to them. As the deal was made, they took the money and they re-enlisted. Now, they're going, the Army's saying that if they don't pay the money back, they're going to be breaking the law.
Okay.
And how does this, if they don't pay this back, how are they going to get the money? Are they going to take it out of their pensions?
See.
Are they going to, I mean, are these people, these war heroes, are they going to have benefits taken away, medical benefits taken away, their pensions taken away?
You know what, folks, any one of us, and I'm sure if you're listening to us out there, you're probably in the same position. We could not afford that. If we were given compensation 10 years ago, a decade ago, we'll say, and then forced to repay it, this being the government forcing us to repay this, how would you do that?
I think the Army should be able to foot the bill with all the money they're making from opium sales in Afghanistan. They should easily be able to cover they want.
That's not the military necessarily. That's the military industrial complex. Yeah, I'm going to have to, we're going to have to wrestle, you and I, get the Nerf bat. We have to bring the Nerf bat back up.
The thing that bothers
now
me.
Now that we're on camera.
It's not like these people got bonuses and never were deployed anywhere, never, served their country.
They
did serve their country. Yes. They held it up there. They held up their end of the bargain. They held up their end of the contract. And because it was this mistake made by the government, now they're turning around and trying to make the soldiers who received the money pay for it. And the way I read this, they're talking about, reenlistment bonuses of $15,000. They're going to get something anyways, whether it was $5,000 or $10,000. It looks like some of it was just overpaid or they were paid more than what was allotted. But it sounds like they're trying to make them pay back everything. How about the president pays back, the $10 trillion he added to the national debt, and then we can go back and ask the soldiers to pay back their that made me mad when I read that article today.
What else should make people angry? That the Department of Justice says it's illegal to stop voter fraud, okay,
mm-hmm.
because you could violate federal law.
It is illegal.
To stop voter fraud?
To stop voter fraud.
So, okay, folks, we're...
And you know what they cite as the example? You know what they cite as the example? The two Black Panthers standing outside the Philadelphia voting office in 2008. I'm serious. Go to Breitbart and look at it.
I know. I mean, folks, think about that. How much sense does all of this make? And, after this break, we're going to be getting into some heavy-duty news. You've got to stay where you're at, and I want to say hello to our listeners overseas as well as all across the United States and Canada. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Global Star Radio Network. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio Network. Thank you so much for carrying our program. But yes, Black Panthers. Now look, here's what we're going to need to do.
We want our bonuses back.
Yes. But we should. You know what we should do this election is take our PR-24s, take a PR. Let me rephrase that. Get a nightstick from a police officer and dress up as a Black Panther.
I don't want to break the law by stopping voter fraud. So I'm going to vote with an absentee ballot. I'm going to show up and vote
really often, right?
At as many polling places as possible. I don't want to, I don't want to break the law.
Now, speaking of voting, is Madonna on her knees still, or is
somebody suing her
for breach of contract or what?
Because voted for Hillary Clinton and services were not rendered. And folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, don't look into it.
Yeah, don't. But isn't that where we're at morally and spiritually as a country? I think that's true. By the way, Thursday, Steve Quayle is going to be on our program. I was talking with him this morning early. That guy wakes up like at 3 in the morning, okay? He calls and says,
"Hey, what are you doing?"
It's like 6:30 in the morning.
You in the office, huh?
It's like, yeah, Steve. Guess what? Yeah, you know, I just got back last week. I was working on this, True Legend 3. And you should take, go look at the photo of the day. Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious, okay? Even Lady the Studio Dog is down in my office. Get there thinking before even the any phone rings, and the phone rings, and I look at Steve Quayle. And anyway, you go to stevequayle.com, look at the photo of the day. Look at the photo of the day on stevequayle.com. Just look at it. He said, I took that picture this weekend, and you know, that white dot. Oh, man, you gotta look at the white dot. Look at the white dot. I'm not making fun of Steve. I love you. I'm not even making fun of you. It's just that early in the morning, you know, you have to kind of get that feel for it. But he said that, man, the chemical trailing, chemical spraying over the area that they were at, and that white dot, just look at that white dot. His camera equipment is amazing. And he's going to be talking about True Legends, too.
When we come back from the break going into our last segment, we're going to hit on some news. 20,000 strong supporters turn out for a Trump event in Tampa, Florida. Also, other election news. Concerns grow over George Soros control concerns grow over Soros-linked voting machines and his control over them. 16 states may have been using balloting equipment from a company tied to the leftist billionaire. We're going to get into those stories and more. Obamacare rates set to hike into the double digits into next year. We're going to talk about that and more on the other side. Stay with us.
Hagman and Hagman Report. On social media, Facebook, Hagman Report. Twitter is at Hagman Report. I've got my own Facebook. It's, what is it? Douglas Hagman. Douglas Hagman. Actually, it's going to be Ladios. It's going to be... let me start over. It's going to be Lady the Studio Dog's Facebook, I think. She's making her appearances everywhere, it seems. And, of course... Eric the Tech. It blows my mind. Folks, follow Eric the Tech on Twitter at Real Tech Eric. Okay. Real Tech Eric. You want to laugh? I mean, just if you want to just some side splitting laughter or just things that, you know, sometimes you just need to smile. You really just need to laugh and make fun of things. Yeah. Real Tech Eric. He didn't ask me to promote it. I'm just saying, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, this is coming from our studio. Okay. I think he's trying to see if he can get himself banned on Twitter, but, anyway. Canada Free Press, Jim McLeod wrote an article, which, this is from today. Judy McLeod from Canada Free Press, the folks, they've got a great, the Mark Petroni's got the, daily, video news, but, Judy McLeod wrote an article today about demystifying election 2016. Now, Judy in Canada Free Press is probably more American than more U.S. than any than a lot of Americans. Okay, but here's what she writes: that we already know the outcome of this year's election, that Donald Trump is going to win in a landslide, but the globalist-controlled progressives will claim victory. How do we know that? Because that's what they've been doing all along, claiming that. Election 2016 was Hillary's to win from the get-go. And haven't they been doing that? When you look at it, and this is something I just noticed, you look at things and you see how little things, and Joe and I were talking about this too, are planted in your head, for example. Little ideas. It's history, a women's, you know, it's the women. And Kane yesterday, we're in Philadelphia when Kane was talking and Hillary was, having to rest while Kane was talking was, wow, what a wuss Kane is. I'm sorry. Isn't he a
wolf? He reminds me of one of those creepy clowns that have been, you know, running around scaring people in different counties.
Hence Real Tech Eric on Twitter. You got
Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah. There's a connection there. But what? We have to have a woman president. And see, the people I've talked to, but it's deeper than this, obviously. But it almost seems like a done deal. I'm concerned, though, when you look at the Electoral College, there's a couple of Electoral College maps that are up. It takes 270 to win. The Electoral College, all of the maps from the Electoral College show Hillary Clinton decisively far advanced over Trump.
And we're going to do a segment one of these days before the election specifically on how the Electoral College works legally.
Right.
How they're supposed to work, what's supposed to happen, if everything goes according to law, how exactly that will play out.
Yes. But there's a lot of hanky-panky going on, and I do believe, and this goes to our guest tonight, earlier, Avi Lipkin, and it goes to Carl Gallup's too, and it goes to others. What is going to happen, regardless of who wins on Election Day 2016, what is going to happen if it's a Trump victory? What is going to happen with the body of the Clinton hear me roar followers? Or if it's a Clinton victory, what is going to happen by the conservative Trump followers? Now, the latter I'm not too concerned with in terms of...
It'll be bad.
Burning villages, okay? You know, looting...
Raining cats and dogs. Volcano eruptions.
Well, no, I'm talking about if Hillary wins, okay? With respect to that.
I think it's going to be chaos regardless.
Is that planned? And folks, is that chaos planned? Is that part of the plan?
No, they don't plan those kind of things.
Of course
they
not.
Don't plan violence and protests and... No, of course not.
But,
we have talked about with several guests on here about the plans, if Trump wins, to crash the economy to make him, you know, look like an idiot.
And could that very well be?
Crash the whole United States economy? Trust me, they're going to be prepared to crash a few cities with violence.
Well, again, though, my question is this individual that is selected to be in the seat in the White House the one to usher in the end of the American dream? I mean, is that, will that person see the end? I mean, or have to manage the end, whether it's the economy, whether it's war, the globalists behind the scenes, obviously, are managing everything. I don't know. This is three-dimensional chess at its finest. And, but Avi said it well, too. You know, it's simple, but there's some complexity to the way it's playing out. All right, Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spending your 3 hours with us. We really believe it. It's an investment. By the way, I should add one more thing, and I'm going to shut up. I bring letters that we're getting. We get a lot of mail to our office, and I want to thank each and every one for your. I don't care if it's written on a napkin. We read what you folks send, and so many great letters. So much great information. We got a box. I'm going back 2 years ago. We got a huge box 2 years ago.
A box. We have a room of boxes.
But somebody had really done a great job. Again, I can't. I'm not allowed, or I'm not. I don't have the license to say who it was. But this box weighed 52 or 53 pounds, full of papers. And believe it or not, this is 2 years ago, 23 months ago. And we just got through going through these papers that were sent to us. And you think, well, wait a minute, what took you through 2 years? Well, we don't have 100 people working for us. Okay, it's us. Look at us. We got to sleep once in a while. What are you laughing over there? I said, look at us. And Eric's going, yeah, ooh, ooh, ooh. That's what purple sticks are for, indeed. Healthmasters.com. But anyway, but we're going to dedicate some part of our show to mail as well. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Some important news. This is something that we touched on last week. There was an 18-page PDF released about the new strategic implementation plan, 2016 strategic implementation plan to counter violent extremism. And I might actually have it with me here, but there is an article in the New American that sums it up nicely. Obama unleashes intervention teams to wage war on ideology.
Period. Ideologies. Period. Okay.
And this goes on to talk about, it says, the year after the dictator-dominated United Nations declared war on ideologies such as anti-Muslim bigotry and opposition to mass immigration, the White House cooked up a fresh version of the Obama administration's national plot to prevent people from adopting unapproved ideologies. The controversial scheme aims to deploy community-based teams of mental health workers, teachers, law enforcement officers, social service employees, faith leaders, and others to stop the spread of ideologies that Obama claims can be dangerous or violent. Analysis and critics of the White House plan warn that Obama's supposed attack on violent ideologies was, in reality, a thinly veiled assault on conservatives and political opponents of his agenda to fundamentally transform the United States. Almost almost from the start of his term, the Obama administration was remarkably candid, targeting conservatives, libertarians, patriots, veterans, pro-life activists, nationalists, and others as extremists and even potential terrorists. Various Obama bureaucracies gave a steady stream of propaganda, painting hundreds of millions of mainstream Americans as the enemy merely for their religious or political views. Now,
so what's this telling us?
A new 18-page plan was first reported by Reuters on October 19th. It represents the first time an administration's policy preventing violent extremism has been updated. The established controlled media reported, the policy aims to prevent conversations to all violent ideologies. Reuters reporter Julia Edwards added, citing the document, which still does not appear to have been released publicly, it was not immediately clear what constitutional or statutory authority the White House imagines it possesses to police people's ideologies or to hijack local governments to interfere with people's personal beliefs.
And this is how, this is a war against Christianity, this is a war against conservatives, and this is a war against God, this is a war against your belief in life before birth, that is, you know, the sanctity of life in the womb. This is a war against all of that, and it's a tactic in order to stop you from saying it publicly.
And it was released and published.
It was in September,
strategic
I think, right?
implementation plan for empowering local partners to prevent violent extremism in the United States, dated October 2016.
Okay, October.
And it's an 18-page PDF, and it goes through. It talks about a number of things countering violent extremism, not only the violent extremists, but also targeting their supporters, from inspiring, radicalizing, financing, recruiting individuals or groups in the U.S. to commit acts of violence. It talks about how violent extremists have many motivations. They're not limited to any single population, region, or ideology. They've utilized the internet and other technologies, specifically social media platforms, to reach greater number of people and tailor messages to appeal to different audiences. This talks about how they're going to create different task force, using the term countering violent extremism, which refers to proactive actions to counter efforts by extremists to recruit, radicalize, mobilize followers to violence. Now, the task force are going to include branches from the DHS, DOJ, FBI, NCTC, and other federal departments. One, they're going to enhance engagement with local communities. Two, they're going to build government and law enforcement expertise to prevent violent extremism. Three, they're going to counter violent extremist propaganda while promoting our ideals, is what they say. And how are they going to go about doing this? One, to counter violent extremist propaganda while promoting their own ideals, they're going to create communications and digital strategies, and they're going to engage in technical assistance, whether that be DDoS attacks against those people they view as opponents, to creating messages of propaganda aimed at countering those they perceive to have violent extremist ideologies. They talk about how in this whole process, they're going to have to be very careful when it comes to what role civil rights and liberties play in safeguarding the Constitution and balancing the going after violent extremists. They say that the strategy makes clear that protecting civil rights and liberties is paramount in itself to helping counter violent extremism. And it also goes on to say that protection of individuals' privacy and freedom of expression is essential to this work and will be woven into all efforts. But they also go on to say that there are end-arounds to civil liberties in ways that you won't know about. It's not like they're going to get a warrant, come to your house and say, we're searching through your phone records. This is what we have been seeing. Internet electronic surveillance, the NSA style monitoring through your computers, your TVs, your telephone lines, your phones, just about everything that plugs in your house can double as a microphone or a receiver and transmitter. But one thing that's really, and I've only went through half of this with a fine tooth comb, one thing that sticks out and that is mentioned a whole lot is the role of the internet. Now, not only that, but they talk about the different types of attitudes and behaviors of individuals on the internet. The way people disagree with each other, the arguing, the individual engagement, I guess you could call it. And they talk about their cyber warriors, how that they have teams in each agency.
Yeah, and of cyber warriors. This, we exposed this 3 years ago, folks.
Right.
My contact within DHS told me about this very thing, and I took a lot of flack for this. Okay, so but I these are people who are paid. I will republish this. I must republish this.
Because they talk about this through terms of community outreach and engagement, fostering cooperation with partnerships, public and private partnerships, from faith-based leaders, like the clergy response teams, to local law enforcement, to mental health professionals. And they say, you know, one way to improve the engagement process, they say violent extremist narratives espouse a rigid division of us versus them and often promotes an individual's exclusion or isolation from their community. And they go on to talk about the hostile relation, they often have hostile relationships with government, with governments, and the public narrative is an us versus them narrative. What they plan to do, the government plans to do, through federal outreach programs, is aim to decrease the exclusion and isolation and create the inclusiveness that we hear so much about today. And when we hear inclusiveness, one thing that comes to mind is the snowflake generation. All anything that is offensive is off limits.
I need my safe space. Oh gosh,
it's really? Okay. It's okay for the snowflake generation to offend other people, to shut their free speech down, to tear them down. But if something is said that is offensive to their sight, to their hearing, to their taste, then it must be banned, and they must have a safe space to go to.
You know something?
Imagine a snowflake generation. In 20 years from now, people aren't going to. I mean, what you won't be able to function in the world.
Well,
if you need a safe space from being offended, then don't wake up in the morning. I'm going to drop kick those computers.
No, you're not. Hey, no, you're not.
I'm in one of those movies.
Eric said, yeah, this is my safe space. You got a mic up, Eric. You know, real tech Eric on Twitter. But you know, no, at 19 years old, I mean, I remember when I was 19, and I remember what I had gone through by the time I was 19. And some of the people, some of the other young people having served in Afghanistan, think back to Vietnam. So at 18, 19, 20, 21, young people going to Vietnam and World War II, what they went through. For crying out loud, what's up with the wussification of today's male? All right, I mean, at 19, I had seen
you didn't have life
so
when you were
much
19.
Death by 19 years old, and back then it wasn't PTSD. I don't know, you didn't go to therapy, you know, when you had that, like, you know, you just didn't go to therapy for stuff to be, you know. Because, oh my
gosh.
Yeah,
you did. It was called being taken out back and having your butt whipped.
That, or you go to the bar and slam a few. And I'm not advocating that, okay? It's just, all I'm saying is, folks, guys, alpha males, if you're not handling well what you're seeing today, you're not going to handle well what's coming. All right, I could just tell you that right now. You're not going to do well with what's coming, and you better be in a position to handle. Quit being a snowflake.
And can't be any. There's no such thing as a Christian
grow
snowflake.
Up. That's right.
There can't be.
No, no.
There can't be. It's just
no. I mean, look at what's happening in the Middle East right now with the Christians, the genocide of the Holocaust, the Christian Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And
no,
we need to fight.
Don't cut
this.
My head off. Where's my safe space?
And we got some idiot, you know, a bunch of idiots in this country who are so damn offended because, you know, of the what was it at Hofstra University?
Trump 2016 chalking.
Oh my goodness! Come on, people! I mean,
there was a lady
smack,
who cried
sorry.
When she saw that. Why do I want my country to be like this? Why does it have to be like this? You know, one thing I didn't talk about on the Common Sense Show yesterday that I wanted to talk about that dovetails with this violent extremism, radicalization of everything in America, is the U.S. Army's policies on influence operations, or soft brainwashing, if you will. And
there
the
is.
Influencing yep. operations are focused on affecting the perceptions and behaviors of leaders, groups, or entire populations. These influence operations employ capabilities to affect behaviors, protect operations, communicate commanders' intentions, and project accurate information to achieve desired effects across the cognitive domain. Now, they talk about the military capabilities of influence operations. Those are called psychological operations, or PSYOPs. And one thing that the military does very well is conduct these psychological counterintelligence, counterpropaganda operations, and does so in the public arena. They talk about this, the public affairs, while a component of influence operations is predicated on its ability to project truthful information to a variety of audiences. Truthful is emphasized in there because what they go on to talk about as truthful is military deception. It's based deliberately to mislead the adversary or violent extremist organizations, decision makers, causing the adversary to take specific actions that will contribute to the accomplishment of a friendly mission. But one thing that the influence operation doctrine really gets into, which is very interesting, is the changing public perception in a complete 180 degree way, even if it's wrong, like encouraging people to be racist, we'll say, as an example.
Yes.
They
yes.
have, I would say, like a 10-tiered approach, and I got maybe 8 so far down, that they can use, and it's through behavioral influences. You talked about the pre-crime thing, through using the public and mass media as a instrument of war. The CNN effect, we've all heard of that, when they pretended that they were in Iraq, and actually they were in Atlanta on top of the CNN headquarters.
And a lot of
from
this is
storytelling.
Polling too. polling in a way, because you're shaping the ideology of the candidate. I mean,
positive and negative reinforcement based on lies. I mean, there's so much here. We don't have time at all to get into these. But this encompasses not just, you know, the cyber command and information sectors. This is the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, all joint federal agencies.
Yep.
And they go through, they have a whole list of things that they, propaganda, counter-propaganda, influence theory, influence history, influencing tools, market and advertising, deception, strategic deception, and they go through, you know, storytelling and social behavior modification, all the way down to re-education.
Re-education.
And, you know, Abraham Lincoln said, public sentiment is everything. With the public sentiment, nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed. He who molds public sentiment goes deeper than he who enacts statutes or pronounces decisions. He makes statutes or decisions possible or impossible to execute.
It's perception. Perception becomes a reality, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe's going to be getting into more on that and deeper in the separate talk and venue, because it's important.
Last point, I'm sorry, that I missed, is the where we are now in influence operations. They are moving toward effective global influence, which is a multi-tiered approach that deals with confusing target populations, bipolar thinking, and adopting a new model of influence for one-way advertising and perception management. But as you said, we'll be getting into more of that as we have time.
Well, a couple of things before we break. Just real quick, I want to mention congratulations to Kurt Schilling, who's going with Breitbart. Kurt Schilling, a guest on our program a couple of times. Greg Jackson, thank you so much for arranging that. But Kurt Schilling is going to be having his own show. It's interesting.
Good for him.
Yeah. And just in, Steve Quayle sent me a note. Josh Tully is a guest on our program before, and of course a radio show host we've had on. He's a radio show host, and we've been
with him. He's a friend of the show.
Right. Reporting that the runs on gun stores are beginning right now, or in force right now. And I did talk with someone early today from a local gun store, who said they're noticing a pickup in black guns, the assault rifles,
black,
as they call them. Yeah, the ugly, the scary guns, or the, oh my goodness, you know.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, term. Anyway. And don't forget, Mr. Fix-It is going to be on Hannity tonight. I believe it's going to be Jack Palladino. We'll see what happens. If not, Palladino would be one, regardless, to listen to, even if it's not him. But that's kind of what I'm thinking, a PI and Boston lawyer. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we'll coming on at 10 o'clock. And folks, go to HagmanReport.com.
We'll be reporting on that a lot.
There's a story I put up there that you guys will want to read. Is Obama going to leave the country if Trump wins? White House spokesman won't say.
Don't believe the polls. Don't believe what you're being told in the polls. Don't believe what you're being told by the media. Just believe what you hear here.
Polls. Clinton leads by 5 points.
Yeah.
And, she also won the election already, depending on
course,
some polls.
Of course, yeah. All hail to the Queen. The Queen, long live the Queen. The Queen is dead, right? Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your belief and trust in us. Thank you for spending your time with us. Go back and listen to Avi Lipkin. Had a lot of great stuff to say. Thursday, we're going to have Steve Quayle on.
Friday, Ted Breuer. Wednesday, we are going to have Flip Benham, followed by Pastor Langford. And
Pastor Langford is going to be a guest in our program every Wednesday at the third hour.
And tomorrow we have Stan Deo, and we have another guest coming on in the second hour. Yeah. And now that I got my schedule working, let me grab the name. Many of you.
And I want to thank John Robertson, too, and John, you know, Mike Spaulding. But John, thank you so much for all of your hard work. JD, too, thank you so much for your hard work, and Eric as well.
Somebody's computer is going to get broken here.
That's all right. That's all right. Until tomorrow.
Here, wait.
You got it?
I got it.
All right. Wait. Hang on.
We still got another minute anyway. Okay, tomorrow.
I know. I want to get out of here. I'm cutting out early.
tomorrow is what, the 25th? We have Gregory Mannarino. Gregory Mannarino.
That's right, tomorrow.
And then Flip Benham Wednesday, Steve Quayle on Thursday, Ted Brewer Friday. Yep. And let's take a look in the next week. Dr. Michael Heiser is on Monday.
It's Halloween on Monday. It's going to be an interesting show with Dr. Heiser.
Yeah.
A very interesting show. Wow. Interesting guy.
Yeah, so a fantastic week this week. We got information from a number of different and important sources. Again, Pastor Langford, Steve Quayle, Flip Benham, Ted Brewer, Sandale.
Send Avi Lipkin an email. Tell him thanks a lot. Tell him you heard him on our show or somehow connect with him. Let him know you heard him and support Avi. He's a great guy. Go ahead.
Till tomorrow. Stay safe. God bless and have a good evening.